Welcome, everybody, to episode 532 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold. We were just talking about, we were talking about a lot of shit before we got on the show, guys. How are you? You guys doing all right?
Oh, did we start the show?
Yeah, just now. Just now we did.
Oh, fuck. I mean, hey, what's up?
We're talking about naked people on the highways, and I don't know what the hell else we were talking about. Kicking grandmas in the face, and what would we do in that situation? But that's the type of chat that you get before we start the show. So what are you doing? You need to be in the chat 7 Eastern on Twitch and YouTube. So, gentlemen, or Eric, how was your week, man?
It was all right.
Yeah. There's another typical blasé week, huh?
Yep.
I got a question for you guys.
No.
How dare you? How dare you, Break? You don't even know what I'm going to say.
I'm sorry.
I was going to give you a raise, but, you know, apparently I can't do that now.
I think he was anticipating a would you rather from Frank, and I was like, no.
From me? You need to worry about freak.
Via freak.
Yeah, no. I do have a dilemma, though. I was going to save it for, I don't know, I think my high escapade or something, but what would you, I know what you guys would do, but I'm having a hard time deciding whether I want to go see the movie Us or going to a Home and Garden show this weekend. And I know that sounds like
the fact they're even contemplating that shows how old you are.
Exactly my point. Exactly.
Does this make me older because I'd say the Home and Garden show?
Well, I really want to see Us, man. Us is getting
fun. I can wait until Tuesday.
I'm not waiting. If I'm going to see it, I'm going to see it this fucking weekend, man. I'm tired of seeing movies after the fact. And Us is one of those. I think it's going to be another generational movie, man. Get Out was one of my favorites.
I got stuff to do this weekend, though, so that's why.
I gotcha. Well, I mean, okay, you're excused. And Freak Fives on cue. Freak Five shows up in chat. What's up, Freak Five? You missed the nakedness talk and other stuff. But, so that's my dilemma.
Although I'm guessing a Home and Garden show would be a lot different around here than there.
I don't know. I
would still want to go to one, but I have a suspicion there it would be maybe a lot more hydroponics.
No, that's not the reason why I want to go. I have a specific reason why I want to go, but that's interesting. I'm wondering if they're going to have any of that there. That'd be fun. I just grow outside, man. It's so much easier.
The opposite of penis envy is pooping envy.
Pooping envy, I guess.
Pooped today, didn't you?
I did. I pooped today, and I apparently so did Freak Five because I saw his tweet. There you go. You need to tweet that out. I poop today. Hashtag I poop today. And my dilemma is this. I want to go because they have these container house, like, demos and, like, you know, kind of show you what they look like. And I find it actually kind of, fascinating. I was going to say fantasizing. that would have come out totally wrong. No, and because I'm really interested, I'm thinking of getting, instead of a, well, it's going to be a tiny house anyways, but like these container houses, because they're like weather resistant and, you know, they got lots of advantages. They're pretty much maintenance free. Like these things are the real deal.
This house I saw on Netflix, this guy like converted a dumpster into his home.
Too small. I saw that. It's a little too small. Yeah, I need something a little bit bigger. But I, you know, I'm thinking of like a 40-foot model or 45-foot model. I don't know if that's kind of why I want to go.
Landfill then, not a dumpster.
Yeah, pretty much, man. No, like one of those container crates, like they transport shit in, like overseas on big ass. You know, you can buy those super cheap. Converting them, like, you can buy a complete, like, living unit for, like, less than 50 grand. And that's what I'm, you know, I mean, that's what I want to do, man. Like something like that. So, you know, it's just food for thought. So it's either, you know, I go and see probably one of the greatest movies of all time, from what I'm hearing, Us, or I go to the Home and Garden Show. So that's my dilemma this week, gentlemen. But anyways, let's get started with news. Eric?
Okay, oh, you know what? What?
You want to do the intro? Let me do the intro to the news.
His soundboard's all borked.
Or I could just do the...
And the show is broken.
Yeah, it is. No, here we go.
RPG News.
Freak 5 in chat's wanting to talk about me naked, and I'm kind of uncomfortable with that. Go ahead and start, Eric, with the news.
From RPG site, we have Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 has been announced for the Xbox One, PC, and PlayStation 4. And the last one came out in 2004.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. It was it has a cult following. It was a pretty decent game. I had it, and it was one of the last kind of PC games that I ever played. But I liked it. Thought it was okay. I'm showing the trailer now, and I really, really shouldn't, because there's no gameplay in the trailer, but it looks pretty, it looks stylish. I hope the gameplay is something akin to this trailer. Highly doubt it, though. I don't think it's going to look nearly this good, but if the gameplay is as good as the Masquerade 1, then I'm in. A lot of intrigue, a lot of political intrigue and shit like that with vampires. So what do you guys think?
Ooh, I see somebody using a sledgehammer as a weapon. I like that.
I just hope that graphically it comes close to this, because if it does, man, that's...
Ooh, first person neck sucking, huh?
Yes. That's interesting. I hope that type of stuff happens in this game, but you never know, man.
Oh, yeah. Is this all cutscene stuff, or is this actual game? Like, this looks like actual gameplay.
It's not gameplay. Not gameplay.
No, that's all video. Yep. Boo.
Yeah, but at the beginning it says not actual gameplay. That's why I didn't get too
excited.
Screw
this horse crap. Move on. We're done with this shit.
Yeah. Freak 5 says it's been years, but you used to be able to buy a kit to build a frame house for $20,000. You can still do that, Freak 5. I just don't want to go through with doing all the work.
You don't want your house to look like a giant triangle?
That's probably what I would do. I would do it, man. I, you know, it's like a paint by numbers thing. I wouldn't be able to do it.
Wait, so Frank really does live in a pyramid?
How dare you? How dare you, Eric? Man, I know you're very observant and stuff, but how dare you make that observation? All right, Breakman, let's go on to the next story. I'm down for Bloodlines too, though.
Coming to us live from RPG site, Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the Necrodancer, featuring The Legend of Zelda, announced for Nintendo Switch.
Yes, this is good news.
Really, it's called Cadence of Hyrule, but you have to tell us it's featuring Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, exactly.
Nintendo. Yeah, since it doesn't seem to be exactly the same as Crypt of the Necrodancer, it looks like it has a story.
Yeah.
Nintendo and Spike Chunsoft have announced Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the Necrodancer, featuring The Legend of Zelda. Like, the title's just way too long, for God's sakes. Which will launch on Nintendo eShop this spring, developed by the Canadian team at Brace Yourself Games.
Yeah.
But they love talking about that game in meetings. Because, you know, there's always that one guy that's like, you gotta call it by its full title.
Yeah. Being all
political. Yes, sir. And so we're working on Cadence of Hyrule. And, no, by the full title. Sorry, sir. Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the Necrodancer, featuring The Legend of Zelda. Do you have to be so snide when you say it like that?
I think this is great, but I don't like the way that the character moves. Like, I didn't like it in Crypt of the Necrodancer, and then now in this game.
Yeah, it should be animated. It's just, we put you in the box.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
Here's some details on the game, too, when you're done.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
As Link or even as Princess Zelda, you'll explore a randomly generated overworld and dungeons on a quest to save Hyrule. Like, the whole overworld changes. Oh, my God, it's a nightmare. Every beat of each remixed The Legend of Zelda tune is a chance to move, attack, defend, and more. So stay one step ahead of each enemy and boss or face the music.
Yeah.
I hope it's a more fair version of Crypt of the Necrodancer, because I had problems with it. It's like, Like, the real difficulty from the game came from its complete randomness and how you almost always got bad draws for, like, either enemy counts or weapons to use or just knowing where the hell to go.
Yeah.
From modern-looking Lynels to the Hyrulean soldiers of old, you must master the instinct.
Lynels. They're Lynels.
I don't care. Lynels. Instinctive movements of each pixel art enemy and strategically outstep them in rhythm combat. So equip yourself with arsenal of iconic Legend of Zelda items, as well as the spells and weapons from Crypt of the Necrodancer. You must be prepared to face Hyrule's most wicked bosses, which have been transformed by music, granting them mighty new forms. And here's a kind of a bullet print. Rhythmic action adventure game in the world of Legend of Zelda series. Explore the randomly generated overworld and dungeons to save Hyrule as Link or Princess Zelda. use items from the Legend of Zelda series plus spells and weapons from the Crypt of the Necromancer game. Basically, you're just repeating everything you've said in your two paragraphs.
Yep.
Outstep legendary enemies and bosses in rhythmic combat. Yeah, you said that too.
Mm-hmm.
Keep the beat with 25 remixed classic Legend of Zelda tune. So their last bullet point was actually a new point.
Yeah, I was going to say, Eric, I have faith that they will, I hate to say this, but dumb it down. I know that's not sounding right, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Nintendo-wise, man.
It's also going to be easier to see the enemies because you've got bigger sprites now.
Yeah.
And there's more color, and I'm more apt to play two remixes of Zelda
music because
a lot of the music in the Necromancer was free domain. Yeah. Public domain, I mean.
Yeah. Freak5 says, in the first Bloodline game, a Malkavian dropped a severed arm that you could equip as a weapon. I remember that. All right, let's move on to the next story. This comes to us from RPGsite.net. Battle Crashers Night War heading to mobile devices this summer. Game will cost $9.99 as a premium title with no in-app purchases. Wow, that's something. That's actually really cool. So you just pay $9.99 and that's it. That's great.
That's the highest price I think I'd be willing to pay for a mobile game.
Yeah, but I mean, as long as...
Well, I think the console versions are like at least $5 or $10 more.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's...
Digital versions, at least.
That's fair. If they don't nickel and dime you with a bunch of bullshit DLC or microtransactions, then I think that's... I mean, $5 to $10 is fair.
I'd be more concerned about the game's performance on mobile. Because, even the PS4 version I played had some frame pacing issues.
That sucks because the game looks fun.
It does. It looks good. I would play this, but maybe not mobile, but I don't know. We'll see. But there you go. And then there's a nifty little trailer with a bunch of stuff and things. So there you go. All right, Eric.
Stuff.
Yeah, and stuff. Eric, next story, please.
All right, next story is that TriStar has been dated, and this is coming from Silicon Era.
Jesus Christ Star?
I would pay for that, and then I'd pay for the sequel, Jesus Christ Superstar.
This is crying RPG TriStar's director and producer teased late last year the game is headed westward, but now it's been made official with an August 27th release date, and it'll be localized with English text and audio, so they're actually putting an English dub in here, so that's nice.
Yeah.
But I hope it's not a partial dub like most of IFI's games. But, I played Death End Request, and I played it entirely in Japanese because there's so few instances in the game where there was actually an English dub.
Yeah, so hopefully this will be good, Eric, and we can all get to it. Anything else on that, or are you?
There's a bunch of bullet points. Fight for your tears in this action RPG. Combat the souls of the dead as you explore the afterworld of Purgatory. Play as four different characters and unlock their memories to learn the truth behind their stories and secrets. And power through grief. The battle system includes an otherworldly being who fights alongside you. Gather your grief and endure torments to summon your guardian. And tears give you strength. Crying will also help you take down monsters and power your equipment. And Crestor tears.
I'm sorry,
did you
say crying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your special attack in this game? You start crying?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's probably all that salt that's making the weapons powerful, not that actual tears.
Yeah. The salt from your tears. So if you drink those tears, do you get, like, more powerful? That'd be cool.
Wow, this game's getting more and more evil by the moment.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
You need to lick the tears of crying young girls to get more powerful. That sounds wrong. That sounds really wrong.
I think they're drinking their own tears.
I think we are too, man. Hey, I have a question for Freak 5. Are you going to go see Us this weekend? Because that was what I asked before the show.
Clearly, this game has to be better than Mary Skelter, at least.
Yeah. I mean, it looks stylish.
Mary Skelter's got the blood-licking girl stuff. That's gross.
Yeah. Let's see. No new charges in the... no new indictments break for Mueller. I mean, that's it. The Manafort...
Yeah, I read.
Maybe we'll talk about that later. I don't know. All right.
Don't let me tell you. I told you so. But I told you so.
Yeah.
It's gonna end, and nothing's gonna happen.
Yep. I think we talked about that before, Eric. All of us. I think we kind of agreed. All right. Break. Next story, please.
Coming to us live from Silicon Era. Borderlands Game of the Year ESRB rating appears for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC, and I'm already confused.
I am,
too. A rating for an unannounced Borderlands game has appeared on the ESPR since you bought me that one copy that has all the games on it.
Yeah.
ESRB rating website. The listing notes that Borderlands Game of the Year will be coming to PlayStation 4, Xbox
One, it PC. Actually isn't the Handsome Collection just 2 in pre-sequel?
Mm. Which is, yeah, that's all the games.
That's it.
That's one. Well, one, not Borderlands.
No, I thought it had Border. I thought it had the original on it.
Doesn't it? I thought it did too. No. Well.
To go check after this.
But that being said, who actually wants to play the original Borderlands with all its problems?
If they fix the problems, that'd be great.
I doubt they will.
Yeah, I doubt it too. But anyways, continue on.
Yeah. The rumors are that.
Talking about.
Continue
the rumors are it could be the upcoming sequel, the next Borderlands, but we don't know much else at this point.
Okay, good. I hope it's a sequel. All right, speaking of semi-sequels, this is actually good news. This comes to us from Silicon Era.
Where's the Switch version, bitches?
No, that's true. Judgment, Western release date won't be delayed and will arrive on June 25th. So that is fantastic news. We were wondering what the hell the deal was. Like, nobody in this country really gives a shit what drugs somebody took in the game. Like, who gives a fuck what they do with their personal life? We just care about the game. And so here we go. Ryuga Kotoku has issued an update. While the game sales have been put hold on Japan due to the arrest of Pierre Taki, this will not have an effect on its worldwide release date. And I think that's fantastic.
Where the hell is Dungeon Buster?
Yeah, I know. Dungeon would be really...
There are some people who are clamoring for the likeness of Shigata Senshiro to show up on this character. I don't know if you know who that is, but basically it was an advertisement campaign for the Saturn where he would be, like, some guy would play this role of this character who'd kick the shit out of people for not playing the Sega Saturn.
Yeah. Whatever. But I just, honestly, I'm glad it's coming out. Nobody other than Japan really cares that one of the characters in real life took, cocaine. And I understand Japan's stance, but why punish the entire world and your sales? So Sony, Sega did the right thing, and they're going to retool it, obviously, for Japan.
Also, fix your social shit.
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree.
So I'm guessing, like, that rock classic is not allowed in their country.
Yeah, probably
not. Cocaine.
Yeah, exactly. Cocaine. Yeah. Cocaine. Da-na-na-na. Yeah, that one? That whole?
Yes.
Yeah.
All
right.
They're talking about actual cocaine.
Well, that's a song about it. That's about what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, but they're talking about the actual use of drugs.
Oh, Freak 5.
I know, but if they don't like the actual use of drugs, I'm betting
why would they
like
songs? Yeah.
Movies and anything else involving drugs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Man, I would be totally banned from Japan. I should be
almost explicitly just for someone's use of it.
Damn,
not it being used in media, because I'm sure characters in the game do drugs.
See, these are reasons why I could never move to Japan. I could, weed is like non-existent there, so why would I go?
Japan hates drugs.
They do.
Okay.
Freak 5 says, in Binding of Isaac, tears were the weapon. Not this weekend, but I want to see.
But they don't hate drugs. They classify like drugs separately by either it's medicine or it's an illegal drug that's probably cocaine or something.
Yeah, I don't think they allow.
What do they say about opioids?
They are probably allowed because it's like the worldwide. Pharmaceutical.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's like, obviously there are medical uses for opioids, but then we know that there are people who get addicted to them too.
So. Yeah, but it's also technically medicine.
Yeah.
I know, but like, I just think that.
Blocks for substance abuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it, but I'm saying I think that just throws their whole idea of drugs into question.
Yeah.
Their whole judgment on it.
Captain Marvel was awesome. Yes, it was. I had a chance to see that. I should put that down for.
Oh, you did good.
Yeah, let me mark that.
I won't say anything later, but we should do spoilers later then.
So if Japan won't let Frank in their country, that means Frank's a drug.
The plane lands and they're like,
he's an illegal drug.
when Frank lands in a plane in Japan, like, they call out the hazmat team and
No,
they have to quarantine him up. Like, we gotta send him back.
Yeah, and then don't like
everyone go.
And then like here, like they, you know how they have dogs to like, you know, check for drugs and the stuff. They all flock to me.
All Frank has to do is touch somebody, and they'll duplicate.
You know what? It's kind of funny because...
And it'll be like the Borg.
It's kind of funny, man. Like, I almost always, like, other than Fridays, because I don't smoke weed before the show, I almost always smell like weed. Like, it's like always, man. Like people look at me...
Just one time. Like, we got to pick, like, an up... Wait, when's, what is that? 420. When's 420? Yeah. Let me see. Is that on a...
Look at the
it's on a Saturday. That's close enough. Like 419, you're gonna get high for us, Frank.
we'll do the show at midnight.
I can't do it.
We'll do a midnight show.
We'll do a midnight. Oh, you guys are too much, man. No, I can't do it here because I live with my parents currently, and there's this like no way. I don't out of respect for my parents, I just don't do it in the house. I like go to the front yard or the backyard and I
do it from outside. Do the show from outside with a laptop.
I don't have a laptop for one. I could do it on my phone, but then you know
you're saying you're selfish and you don't share if your parents is what you're saying. I see how it works.
Yeah, pretty much, man. You can get a contact
high just pulling in the Frank's driveway.
You know, most likely, man, I'm telling you. I tell you what though, when I get my own house, maybe I could do stuff like that, but I don't like to do that because then I think the quality of the show would like plummet and not be good. So
you could call your house the Loud House, and you could get sued by Nickelodeon for the use of
when people are driving by Frank's house, like they'll have the radio on, and all of a sudden it changes to Afro Man's Because I Got High.
It's playing at like low latencies. They'll just trigger it.
It'd be more like this, guys. Hold on a second. I'm going to do something here. It wouldn't be Afro Man. It'd be this. I hope I don't get in trouble for this. But anyways, here we go. That's what it would be like, guys. It would be like Jimi Hendrix.
Somebody might be listening to some soft rock or something, and all of a sudden that pops on. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, or they'd be listening to like
aliens.
Yeah, they'd be listening to like smooth jazz, and all of a sudden, you know, this would pop up. And then they get out of range, and then it just goes away. And people are like, "What the fuck was that?" Some weird shit. But all right. All right, who's it next?
Tell their friends later, like, the aliens tried to abduct me.
Yeah.
They really like Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah. Freak 5 says the entire plane would be high just from Frank being on the plane. You know what the best thing is to do, though, is to, like, eat a gummy, like, about 45 minutes before your flight and then fly Oh, god damn, man, that's so good. Anyways, Eric, next story, please. I think it's the Sony first state of play.
It's so easy to get drunk on a flight.
Oh, it is, man. One
that high altitude, man, yep. Just a little bit of beer. Oh, mm-hmm. Man, I was so blasted the last time I was on a flight.
Yep, one beer.
So, we all know how the industry is see monkey do, right?
Yes.
I'm glad I wasn't driving when I got off.
Well, Sony's decided to copy Nintendo by doing their own Direct-style presentations. Starting March 25th.
I
don't think this is a big surprise.
No.
Them dropping out of E3 like they did.
Yeah, I don't. I think E3 is on its last legs, man. I mean, Microsoft's going to do the same.
It's been there before, but then remember all the gamers, basically, we all threw a fit about it. Like, we want to see our game previews and stuff, dicks.
Yeah.
They're called State of Play, and it starts at 2 p.m. PT, which would be 5 my time.
Yeah, and 3 my time. The thing about these directs, I think it's a lot better than E3. I think E3 is like, I mean, the horror stories I've heard from E3, like it was a dream of mine for a long time to go to E3 and meet up with Eric and break and, you know, have fun at E3, but the more you hear about it, unless you have like a press pass, it just doesn't seem appealing. It's like, you
know, I'd much rather go to like Gamescom or or Anime Boston or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I you know,
let's all just go to MAGFest.
Yeah, MAGFest.
That's music and games. Sure, there won't be like press stuff going on there, but it'll be a lot more fun.
If they want E3 to go away, why don't they concentrate more on like PAX and stuff?
They have been. They've been shifting away announcements from E3 to go to PAX.
Well, I guess
time.
I mean maybe the media needs to shift more away.
Well, PAX is already kind of like that, so.
Yeah.
I mean, PAX was made for the fans, and really, that's what E3 is what everybody wants. They want the fans to come in and. I
said for years that the thing that would save E3 is to move from California to someplace like Las Vegas, because if you have an alternate reason to be there, like I think it would be a blast for all of us to go meet there and see whatever they, you know, announcements are made, and then still have the ability to go gamble or fucking go see shows or, you know, just have a good meetup, and then we could do like, you know, even a fan meetup there would be cool, because then, you know, you could meet at a bar and, you know, go have fun otherwise. Maybe, you know, go on, I don't know. There could be all kinds of possibilities in Vegas is what I'm saying, but, you know, whatever. I love Vegas, man. I haven't been.
Vegas was awesome.
I need to go back, man. I haven't been in few years. I
like wandering around the streets at 4 in the morning with a beer in my hand, like, hey cop, what's up, dude?
Yeah, and then the cops don't fuck with you there, which is fucking thing. They don't care.
The cop probably has a beer.
Yeah, he'll probably have a shot with you, man. Actually, the one place where the cops are cool as fuck that I've seen, and I haven't seen too many bad things happen, is in Vegas. And you would think I'm not saying bad things don't happen.
Because they have to deal with all kinds of shit. They know the deal.
Frank just wants to go to a brothel. I'd have no problems with the women, Freak Five.
You want to be a regular at a brothel. You want them to know you by name. Like, you want to show up, hey, Frank. Hey,
and by the way,
Frank wants to be one of the escorts at the brothel.
Oh, yeah, hell yeah. Why not? Freak Five, look, in Vegas, you don't need a brothel, man. You just look at the sides of any fucking advertisement on vehicles down the strip and you can get an escort. So that's not even, you know, going to a brothel is like, is not appealing, man. You got too much other shit to do there, man.
I didn't go like outside of Vegas. I didn't go anywhere near like a legal brothel or anything.
There
were like, you could tell like there were escorts because you'd see a guy who was, I saw a guy who was, he had to be at least 70 or somewhere in his mid-70s. And he was with this Asian woman who was at least a foot taller than him and at least 50 years younger.
And hotter, obviously. Like, way hotter. Right. Yeah. Yeah, there's plenty of escorts there, man. And there's plenty of women there that are escorts that, you know, for obvious reasons can't say they're escorts, but it's obvious what they're doing. I mean, you know. I mean, I'm kind of like the Fabio of our time and stuff, but I know the difference between escorts and regular people. So, you know. All right, let's move on. Breakman.
We did the Sony story, right?
Yep.
I got off track. We got so off track on it. Come Just Life of Sokonera AI, the Somnium files.
Mm-hmm.
The what?
Somnium. Yes.
Somnium files will make its worldwide debut. It'll make its worldwide debut on July 25th, 2019.
I don't like the trailer. I'm looking at the trailer. I didn't get a chance to look at this particular trailer before the show, but it's kind of freaky. It's got a polar bear, and he's got this chick tied up, and there's a...
I think that's a dude in a costume.
Holy shit, that looks like... Oh, man, he's going to cut her in half.
Looks like that terrible Sean Connery movie.
No, this looks like a fucking freaky furry Saw or something.
What was that Sean Connery movie where he wore a bear outfit or something and it was just absolutely terrible?
Was that a bear?
I quit watching it like 15 minutes into it. I hated it so much.
I don't even know what the hell
you're talking about. Oh, it was The Avengers.
The Avengers sucks so bad. That movie's terrible.
Not the awesome Avengers, the British Avengers movie. Yes. Oh, my God. Who was it?
Ray Fiennes, yeah.
Ray Fiennes, whatever his name is. Yeah. Like, oh, God, it was such a terrible movie.
Yeah, God, I hate that movie.
I'm sorry. Like, he said, Dungeon Buster's laughing in a movie. Well, there was when Eric said that was just a guy in a bear outfit, like, I don't know why that came to mind.
Yeah. Dungeon.
I'm going to give up alcohol.
Dungeon is in chat. Where were you earlier, Dungeon? We were talking about. Judge or Judgment or whatever the hell the name.
Well, you're talking about the Avenger movie that was based on the old TV show.
Yeah. Banana Nanan is in chat. Welcome,
so,
Banana Nanan.
So, what was worse, the old TV show or the movie?
Both. The Avengers TV show wasn't bad.
I never
bad.
Saw the TV show. I only saw the movie.
No, the TV show wasn't terrible. TV show was okay. I give it some credit. Commander Roots in chat. Positivity Bots in chat. And Tade is in chat. Welcome on in. I don't see Dungeon's like name listed on the thing, but I know he's in chat. I think he has like stealth options and shit. Old TV show was okay.
But the movie was what the fuck?
Yeah, the movie was fucking bad. I think that's the movie that I think that was Sean Connery's like last real big movie.
His last movie was
Entrapment, wasn't it?
Entrapment.
No, it was League of
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I like that movie. That movie was pretty decent, but.
I never saw the death scene because he said it like, was the last one too. I never saw the death scene because I quit watching that fucking movie about
15 minutes in.
It had to be 20, 30 minutes into it. It wasn't very long into the movie. I'm like, this is what the fuck am I? I've got other things to do. I'll go stare at a wall or something. That's more entertaining.
I kind of wish I had stopped watching Total Recall when I got to the Earth elevator.
I like Total Recall.
The remake of Total Recall?
Oh, the remake. Yeah. Oh, God, the remake was terrible. Yeah. I like the original, but whatever. All right, next story comes to us from Silicon Era.
I'm sorry, Dungeon Buster says I need to see the Avengers movie just so I can never forget it like him.
Yeah, exactly. The Earth Elevator Dungeon says. Romantic mystery visual novel World End Syndrome heads to North America on May 2nd. There's a nice little trailer here, which I will play for about 5-10 seconds. And nothing happens in it. it's just more of the same. It's one of those... it seems fan service to me. I don't know. Eric, you would know a little more about this.
It's more teenage girls in Japanese schoolgirl outfits.
Yeah, like, that's pretty much. That's...
I there has to be more anime with those than anything else. Just period.
Yeah, pretty much. Here's an exciting announcement, Eric.
Yeah, Cuphead's coming to Switch.
Yes, this is...
April 18th.
This is really cool. I have Cuphead on the Xbox. I thought it was one of the coolest exclusives of any console ever, but obviously it's going...
No longer an exclusive.
Bro. Yeah, I know.
I don't see it in here, but I heard some really cool news about that.
Here's the weirdest thing about it. Microsoft approached the company.
Yeah.
So it's like Microsoft... it almost seems like they kind of want to get out of the game industry.
Yeah, I think, you know what?
I don't think it's that. I think they want to work more with with Nintendo.
I agree.
They want to. Yep. I think they see Nintendo.
Yep.
Is
like, we don't want to release our own console, but we'll let you have some of our stuff.
Yeah, I think Microsoft.
Well, Xbox has failed in every single way in Japan.
Yep.
And
well, and
in Asian markets and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
I think they see them as a long-term ally, as opposed to like Sony, yep, who sees everybody as the enemy.
I totally agree with you, Brake, and I think this is a super smart move on Microsoft's part.
Not only that, but the game, well, the DLC is coming out the same day as the game, so you're gonna have to buy the DLC separately. But they are working together to get Xbox Live achievements working for it. So you'll get Xbox Live achievements by playing the Switch version.
See, this is excellent. And I think it's part of a longer-term strategy between Xbox and Nintendo to combat Sony, because fucking Sony killed this generation. I don't care what anybody says. Sony...
Yeah, they definitely did. Yeah. And they said also once this game comes out, there's going to be because this is going to be an updated version from what has already been out there. There are going to be updates that are on this, that which are going to be immediately available on Xbox.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I don't know.
PC.
I think this is an indication that Microsoft has kind of given up, and they're doing something big with Nintendo. And that Game Pass thing, where it works on the Switch, is going to be a big thing. And it's going to be a big thing going forward. I think even more than what we're worried about. By the way, Dungeon Buster is exiled. And
well, what did he say?
Freak 5 says two girls, one Cuphead.
Man.
He said the Avengers was the DQ8 of movies.
Well, if you're talking like the Avengers, like with Iron Man and stuff, I might agree with that.
I fucking love that movie.
I don't know. The first Avengers movie kind of sucks.
No, it doesn't. How dare
you?
First Avengers movie was awesome.
Josh Whedon bullshit.
No,
it
is great. That first
Avengers movie. It is still my favorite Marvel movie at this point.
It's not my favorite. My favorite's the last Avengers movie, but man, I like
Infinity War movie.
And then the second.
But my problem with Infinity War and what's coming is that these movies should have been three or four movies, as opposed to them trying to pack as much as they can.
I kind of agree, but I think the length of the movies is fine, and I think
like it's gonna be 3 hours for Endgame.
I think that's fine, man. I'm good with it. I mean,
they should have done what Made in the Abyss movies did. Like they took 14 episodes worth of stuff, because technically the 13th episode is 2 episodes long. But they basically split it in half. And there's 2 hours of that, and then it was cut really well, and they didn't cut too much out.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I think the editing is what sets those movies apart, and because I didn't feel like you know how like you're in some movies and you feel like it's too much, and they could have broke it up into multiple movies. I didn't feel that way.
We should have gotten something. The first movie should have been Thanos Quest, and then we got in the theater, and then maybe edited a little bit better, and then the back end of that gets added to the next movie, and then we get 3 movies.
I
think 3 would have been the best, honestly. In the snap might have, if they would have reworked it, maybe the snap happened somewhere in the second movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. I'm looking forward to this one. Endgame looks to be fantastic, but we'll see. Freak 5 is exiled.
I understand why they made it like they did, and like it basically is Thanos' quest that the whole movie was.
But
there
are
so
many
moving parts.
Yeah,
like they really should have separated it.
If the movie's going to be 3 hours, they need to put an intermission halfway through.
Right. Bathroom break.
That's only because you guys got weak bladders. You guys got to man up, sons of bitches. Actually, I'm the one with the weak bladder.
I'd rather like to stand up and stretch my legs.
Now, see, some of us want to admit that are okay with admitting, you know, we're adults, we're getting older. Sometimes we gotta go to the bathroom.
Or, you know, get food because it's a long movie.
Or just do like
or another beer, because beer goes quick.
Yeah, just do what like Freak 5 says. He says just wear an adult diver.
I've never been to a theater that lets you drink beer.
I have. He wears adult diver.
But the beer's been so like expensive that I didn't want to get any kind of alcohol.
Yeah, it's fun to drink. But I usually just drink before the movie or smoke. So you know, actually, I smoke before every fucking movie. But you know, what's that?
The beer's kind of dingy because it's kind of like a hole in the wall.
What's that break?
And you remember them?
I actually do remember them. I'm a functioning weed smoker, man. Like, I really am. Like, I don't know. I feel good, and I watch movies, and it's fun. But anyways. All right, next story. I think it's Eric's turn.
Let's see. Castle Crashers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I spelled that wrong. I'll fix that later. But Castle Crashers Remastered is coming to the Switch and PS4. So yay.
Yeah, that's cool. Is there a date on it, Eric?
They already did the remastered for the Xbox One.
Yeah, it wouldn't be too much work to...
And the PC. I wonder if this means that other behemoth games are coming to the Switch and PS4.
Yeah, I wondered. That'd be interesting.
Just don't play Pod People, because that game sucks.
There you go.
It's like a strategy RPG where you can't actually control the actions of your movements each turn.
Yeah. All right. Now...
randomly choose an enemy to fight instead of letting you pick which enemies to fight.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Freak 5 says, not sure what the name of the theater should be, but open a theater in Colorado that sells edibles. That would actually be a cool idea, or maybe you could dab before you go.
I don't know, because you'd have to tell some people to shut up. There'd be the people, like, after they had some edibles, like, they just start having their own conversation and shit.
No, dude, it's the opposite. They'd be a lot more quiet.
There'd be the guys that are completely focused on it and nothing else.
No, they'd be a lot.
And then there'd be, like, there'd be the group of people that are there, like, long after the credits have ended and stuff like that, and they're still staring at the
That might be... You, blank okay, I was... The first part I disagree with, I think it would make people more docile, but that part, you're right. They might have to usher people out after, so maybe it's not a good idea.
You gotta call it this theater.
Wait for the movie to start.
Yeah.
Just watched it. Sorry.
You could call it Heiscapade. That would be cool. Anyways.
Call it Blunt and Munchies Theater.
Blunt Munchies. Oh, shit, the concessions profit.
I'm bearing the lead with that one.
Oh, man, dude, if you could do dabs, like if they had a section for dabs, and like no kids, obviously, but like, you know, you had like a section for dabs and then you go, I mean, you would kill in concessions. No question about it. I might even discount the weed a little bit, the dabs and weed. Like, seriously, you can make a shit ton of money in concessions that way. All right, Blake.
If they did stuff like that, like selling alcohol and weed, like they should partner with like Uber. Like those
yes.
drivers can make a fortune.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they should have.
I think we need to figure out how to eliminate the smell of weed first, though, so it's not stinky.
No, that would be the.
Well,
I like
edibles,
it.
Right? I'm guessing gummy edibles don't smell like a skunk, right?
Well, they smell, but like obviously when you eat them, like they don't. I mean, there's no smell, but yeah, no.
Also, they do smell like a skunk.
No,
right then.
But what I'm saying, even if it was, it smells good to me. But like, you could do like dabs, like wax and shatter and stuff like that, and that it smells to me more like a 7-Up type smell, like a Sprite or 7-Up. Like a lot of them have these, they smell good. Like they're really
good. Oh, like
good.
A citrusy smell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they smell like gummies then. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sort of like that. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Mean, and then you could have like maybe a separate section for like traditional, you know, flower. I like flower myself, and I know most people are not into the whole smell of weed, but I actually like the way it smells, but I'd have no problem with it. And, you know, but if other people did, then you just offer dabs and gummies and other edibles. I mean, they have like chocolates and all kinds of shit. You know, they should have like lounges where, because usually like the edibles take about an hour and a half to hit, and some could take longer than that. So you have like a lounge, you know, a few lounge areas where people could just chill for a bit and then, you know.
I could see the concession line, like the movie
God.
Be half over and everybody's still be in line waiting for food. Like, come
exactly.
on, man.
All right, who's next? I think it's Breakman. Google Stadium.
Coming to us live from the sites covered. Oh, Silk Camara. What a stupid ad. Google Stadium announced at GDC 2019.
Yeah.
Stadia, not stadium.
That's what he said.
Oh,
he
sorry.
Said Stadia.
Google Stadia announced at GDC 2019. Google Stadia? Gaming announcement has come and gone, and we now know more about companies' plans in the video game sphere. Sundar Pichai, I'm guessing. I'm sorry if I pronounced it wrong. Chief Executive Officer of Google took the stage to announce that Project Stream was a technical test of streaming technology to see if the Chrome browser could be used to bring a AAA game to people over the internet and reveal its game platform platform for everyone, Stadia. Is that the name they're going with for their system?
Yeah. It's a terrible name.
It's a terrible name, and it's a terrible idea because we're not ready for it. No. And we'll probably never be ready for it.
No, I think we will be ready for it, but just, I mean, it's going to take about 10.
But I kind of also don't want that future where everything goes streaming.
Don't either. I agree. Even though I like digital, like downloading shit digitally, I don't want it to be streaming.
Well, let me read the rest of this. Phil Harrison then took the stage to talk more about the Stadia game platform. The goal is for people to gather around. Harrison was a former Microsoft corporate vice president and is now Google vice president and general manager. Yeah, we all knew that. Stadia will combine the words of YouTube and Steam. The worlds of Google data centers, Google. YouTube, and Project Stream. Harrison notes that the 2018 Project Stream test involved Ubisoft's Assassin's Creed Odyssey being played at 60 frames per second in 1080p through Chrome browsers, being the first Stadia test game.
Just wait until the latency just ruins your gaming experience.
Oh, sorry, Frank. Go ahead. I was going to say, I saw that demo. I was not impressed with it. I saw it in 4K. Or, you know, the highest you, and it seemed like it still had like a little bit of stutter, and it didn't look right to me. Like there was something a little off.
I think Google's a company, like it reminds me sort of when Microsoft first came into gaming. Like they had a lot of money, but they didn't really know what they were doing.
Yep.
And through a lot of work, they went from the original Xbox to the 360, which was just a major hit. Maybe this will be just their first attempt, I'm hoping. So anyway, back to this. Harrison didn't know that with YouTube, someone could see an Assassin's Creed Odyssey YouTube video. After it, a link to play now could appear, allowing someone instant access to play the exact game in your Chrome browser. No downloads or waiting would be involved. Just lots of lag. At launch, Stadia will work on PCs, tablets, phones, and TVs. There will be no limits. A Pixelbook with Chrome
OS. Artifact.
Right. A Pixelbook with Chrome OS and Pixel 3 XL was shown running the game on stream.
Yeah.
Google also had it running on the least powerful desktop PC it could find. After that, it was running on a Pixel Slate. Finally, it went on to a TV with a Chromecast Ultra HDMI streamer. Apparently, they found my work computer. You can use it on devices you own with controllers. You also already own. Actually, just kidding. My work computer would have made them a big fail, and they would have been upset. Mm-hmm. As far as specs go, Stadia will run on Linux at over 7,500 Edge node locations worldwide through the Google Edge network, and instances will have custom AMD GPUs with 10.7 teraflops, 56 compute units, and integrated HBM2 memory. I don't know what that is. Somebody's gonna have to enlighten me.
Let me break things down for you, Brady.
Well, hold on. There's more stats on the system. It has custom 2.7 gigahertz hyper-threaded x86 CPUs with AVX2 SIMD. Mm-hmm. SIMD.
Yes.
This means up to 60 frames per second at 4K will be possible for playing in simultaneous. YouTube sharing with Project Stream being 60 frames per second and up to 1080.
Does anybody know? Okay, this all sounds fine and dandy, but can you guys guess what the major problem with this is off the bat? Like, think outside the box for a little bit. What do you guys think the major problem with this already is?
There's not an infrastructure for it yet.
there will be
high bandwidth memory is what it stands for. Okay.
Yeah.
I found out like if you've got data caps, you're also fucked because guess how much bandwidth you're consuming within an hour? 300 fucking gigabytes.
Yep, that's the problem. Dungeon hit it. He said data caps, and that's I ran into this problem.
And if you live anywhere other than like the Midwest, like me, you probably have. Comcast instead of Time Warner.
Yes, and Comcast is horrible. They charge you like you have to pay $50 extra to get unlimited data, which is fucking ridiculous. Like you're already paying, you know, upwards. Like my parents, they have like where they get the internet and their landline and cable service, and it costs them like $180 a month. Which,
in other words, this is for rich people. So this is elitist.
It's an elitist thing right now. And the problem with it is definitely data caps. And I think that company, this is why net neutrality is so important and needs to be restored, because we need to get companies to realize that data caps cannot happen. The internet is going to far outweigh any data caps that they want to place on us. It needs to be unlimited data. Like, there's just no question about it. Now, if they want to say something like, you get unlimited data, but after, you know, I don't know, 500 gigabytes, we slow you down, then so be it. That's a better alternative than to data cap somebody and start charging them fucking money for how many gigabytes of data that they quote unquote use, which is insane to me. Like, if Google could couple this with their own high-speed internet service that was not data capped, then this would be a perfectly viable option, and I would think about getting some. And by the way, their controller.
Well, they need to expand first. They want to do this, but they haven't done that first.
Yeah, their controller sucks. By the way, it's a knockoff of the Microsoft Xbox controller, and I can already tell this thing is not going to play very well with most people. So, the huge problem is data caps. They gotta get their infrastructure in place to offer their own service wirelessly. It can't be something wired, because nobody wants an extra wire to their house. Like, it just, you know, it's not feasible. They've got to get the technology. The technology is there for wireless super fast data, but they need to do it cap free. And then they can concentrate on making this a big thing. Like, it's not going to be big unless we get rid of data caps for sure. So, Freak5 says, wondering if Endgame will include a superhero we haven't seen before in a minor role. I'm wondering that myself. I think I have some kind of insight on some things in the Marvel Universe. I'm not going to say what, but I my guess, and I can tell you, Freak5, my guess is yes. But it's not going to be obviously any of the X-Men Fox things coming up, but there's stuff on that front coming soon. And then, you know, it goes on from there. But anyway, so what do you guys think? Stadia, the idea is great, right? I mean, it would be cool if we could do this, but I mean, like what Eric is saying, 300 gigabytes, like within no time. I mean, that pretty much runs through. You get 1 terabyte with Comcast, which sounds like a shit ton, but I've already run over that like 2-3 times, and it's cost me. So, yeah, we need no data caps for this to even come close to fruition. And we need Google to be the one to take the lead on coming up with like some type of cell tower solution for this, because it's not going to work otherwise. What do you think, Brake?
Sure.
Yeah, it's like,
this is, I feel like the CEO of Google's pulled a Molyneux moment or something, because he's got pie in the sky ideas and he's like not thought them through.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to finish up. Oh, actually, we got a couple more news stories, but I'll go ahead and do the next two news stories. Jake Hunter prequel, Daedalus. The Awakening.
Daedalus.
How do you know? You don't know the pronunciation of that. How dare you?
Yes, right? Because the Daedalus is in the Bible.
they say it different in the Bible, too. Damn it. Anyways, the Awakening of Golden Jazz Asia version with English translation arrives May 23rd. So if you're interested in that, it's immediately available in Japan. So are there any reviews? Do you know how it's doing in Japan or anything like that, Eric? Because
no. I mean, these games, they're kind of short, and I think they're more closer on the budget end.
I like
why this is probably $50 instead of a normal $60 game.
I like the title. The Awakening of Golden Jazz. It sounds kind of cool. Sounds like, you know, like a cool game that you could just.
It's definitely not a period piece, but like it. I mean, I guess it is, because like Jake Hunter is still in high school.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like the name of the title.
Or rather, his name isn't Jake Hunter in this game, which is weird. It's like they're calling it alternative Jake Hunter, but like,
yeah,
his name is Saburo Gwinji. Which is the original Japanese name that they used for the character. And then when they brought the series over to the West via Axis, they renamed everything to give them westernized names. Yeah.
All right, let's move on, guys.
I don't think so. Homie, don't play that.
Real quickly, there's some homie discounts. Darksiders on the PlayStation Store, you can get both the full collections for $12. That's an excellent deal. There's a bunch of other stuff on the indoor, great indoor sale on PlayStation, so check that out. Cool. On deals.
Where I got confused is I was thinking of the Lines of Longinus, and I think the Daedalus was supposed to be something that's like along the same lines, but like, you know how mythology works, like things get twisted and repurposed for other things.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about that because I'd never heard of Daedalus in the Bible. Yeah. Xbox Live Gold, there's a couple of great deals. Vampire with a Y is 75% off. You can get it for, I believe, $15, which is a fantastic deal. 50% off Destiny 2. Cthulhu, Call of Cthulhu, 50% off. All the Far Cries are on sale if you have gold membership. Mafia 3, there's actually a shit ton on Xbox this time, which is surprising. And there actually are a few on Nintendo that I saw. Inside is $13.99. Salt and Sanctuary, great game, $12.59. Darkest Dungeon.
Now I remember. It's been a while since I read Mythology, but that was the name of also the Vicarious's dad. It's like, hey, yeah, I kind of forgot that, but thanks for reminding me.
Dungeon says that's a good deal for both Darkstalkers.
But I wasn't half wrong. I said the Bible. I never said the Holy Bible. So it's like Greek mythology, the book of Greek mythology. Big
How
book
dare
of Greek
you?
Mythology. That's the Greek mythology.
Semantics,
Bible.
Semantics, Eric. Curse of the Moon is $7 on the Switch. I might pick that up. That's a good deal. There was one more. Where was it? Darkest Dungeon for $17. You're saving a little bit on that. So there you go. Some good deals on Nintendo even this week. So there are your homie discounts. All right, Breakman.
Twitter comment.
Any Twitter comments this week, Break?
Actually, yeah. There was some stuff going on the Twitter.
All right.
The Twitter. And most of it refers back to I poop today.
Yes. Sweet. Right on. Let me guess. Freak 5 pooped today.
Yeah, among others.
Among others? Well, Dick,
you pooped today, too. Let's see here. Elmo apparently pooped. I got that.
Okay.
Freak gave us a detail on it, too. He had to go to the gas station across the street because his father-in-law was doing some work on his bathroom.
I would have shit with him right in the bathroom. I don't know why he had to go.
I just want to say that Greek mythology is a lot cooler than the stuff in the Bible.
There's some cool stuff in the Bible, but I agree with you. I'd prefer Greek mythology. Okay.
I would just like to say that I responded with hashtag I didn't flush. That's what I'm going to treat I pooped.
Wait, you didn't flush or you forgot to flush?
No, I didn't flush. I did it on purpose.
He's
he
pissed.
Responded with, you nasty.
You nasty.
And then, here's actually kind of a question from Bernie. Do you guys think women and men are equal? Mom 2 with a bunch of hearts. I don't understand what the Mom 2 is. Depends on what you mean by equal.
Yeah.
I mean, because we can't have babies.
We're definitely not equal.
Let's be honest. Like, men don't.
Yeah, there are physical differences, but like, as opposed to should they have equal rights? Yes.
Right.
Do they have equal capability to do things? I also agree. Yes.
Yes.
I think there are things that are limited because of the average body type and stuff. Like, the average man is going to be more of a bigger body than a woman. So, like, heavier lifting and stuff like that, the average man is going to be able to lift more than the average woman.
Can I break in
those are direct comparisons, though.
Yeah. Well, right. But I'm saying on the average. I'm not saying direct comparisons. On the average, women are more flexible and such like that. So they would be better at gymnastics and dancing and such like that than men on the average.
I'm gonna break in here and say something that probably isn't gonna be too controversial. I don't think women need men. Period. Like period. Like life goes on without men.
Frank?
Huh?
I'm going to have you killed, Frank. You can't let them know that.
Now, look, there's no question that men and women enjoy each other. Otherwise, we wouldn't be as far as we are today. I mean, I think it's still 50-50 men to women ratio in the entire world. I think women might be slightly ahead now, but like if Jurassic Park has taught us anything, like the female in general doesn't really need a man. Like they really don't.
They're the stronger sex.
They really are.
They put up with all that pain in childbirth.
Yeah, there's no question.
And not to mention all the shit that men give them, they endure.
Yeah, I'm fully in agreement. I think
they also live longer, so technically they're physically superior in other ways.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, women are in so many ways vastly superior. That doesn't mean that, you know, men aren't worth anything and, you know, all that type of shit. But there's so many different ways that women are better than men in general. But not to say that there aren't a lot of shitty
better
women in the world.
Because
I've had...
doesn't mean we want to pigeonhole anybody.
Yeah, not to say that there aren't shitty women in the world, because I've dealt with plenty of shitty women.
And when I was saying on the average,
sex and gender.
Hang on, Eric.
There are definitely women who have proven that they can hang in the Rangers, for instance. Like they can do the heavy lifting and run and the running while heavy lifting. The stuff that's mandatory. Like there are. I mean, we can't pigeonhole anybody.
There isn't any one. There isn't any one thing that a man or a woman cannot do. That's what I'm going to say. Like there, you mentioned being a ranger. What about wrestling? Think about wrestling. Like women can wrestle just as well as men can, and vice versa. Just because you have body mass doesn't mean you're a better wrestler. You know what I mean? Like I've seen smaller boxers take out bigger boxers.
Like a Lucha Libres.
Yeah. I mean,
Well, before we move on, I do want to say one thing before I get overlooked. But what is a man but a miserable pile of secrets?
Applause.
Yeah.
And now I can advertise my Castlevania retrospectives. I got it number 4 up.
There you go.
We talked about the 64 games and the PS2 games.
Yeah. Well, speaking about...
Which also had an Xbox port for Curse of Darkness, but
Speaking about...
It's the only other Microsoft version of like Castlevania anything other than the Lords of Shadow and Symphony port and Harmony of Despair.
Yeah, Break is nasty dungeon, no question about that. Speaking of playing video games,
inquiring minds want to know.
Inquiring minds want to know, Breakman, what you've been playing.
Freak asked me if I've been the one who after I. Shit in his toilet without flushing, if I'm the one who's been wiping my ass on his towels. No, it wasn't me, actually. You might have to have a talk with your children.
Yeah. Tell them to start getting wipes and tell them to use the goddamn wipes.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, Break. But speaking of that, why doesn't the United States make use of bidets? Why don't we have them?
That they're becoming more and more popular.
Yeah,
I've actually used one, and I didn't. It was really uncomfortable for me.
You just have to get used to it, man.
Hovering over a water fountain that sprays into your ass just didn't. It was just not right.
You're not doing it right, Break, man.
The pressure's too high. It's going right up there.
you gotta do it right, man.
Oh God, this is too good. Stop.
You gotta hit the rim, bro. You can't just go right up the bum.
Yeah, water Emina that way.
Yeah, you gotta hit the rim, man. You can't go right, you know, right in your chute. All right, Break. What have you been playing, you son of a bitch?
Well, according to Freak, it's only because I'm homophobic. playing, of course, South Park and...
Or maybe just like sexual repression. Sexual repression.
There was that one time Break out of an anal probe and it went bad for him.
I haven't much time to play this weekend. So talk
he
about
has a bumper sticker that says, the anal probe, don't do it. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I've been mostly watching basketball, and the little I played this week was of multiplayer. Well, I finished up the Titanfall 2 storyline. It's not nice. That it was short. It was just that most of it was really easy.
Yeah, yeah. It's not the hardest
even on
game in the world.
Setting. It just the only time it was really hard were the platforming parts. It was easy to die those ways, but it just instantly brings you back to life and stuff like that. But the only other time it was really hard was like Titan to Titan fights. Like those could be those could be rough when you, especially when you're outnumbered.
Yeah.
Is it rockets talking robots when that happens?
I think it's more like Attack on Titan.
It's more like Mech Warrior. It's more like Mech Warrior. But when you're outside of the mech fighting like regular troops and shit, like I felt awesome. I'm like, I'm way better than you assholes. Oh yeah, yeah. Oh man, I feel great killing computers. Yes.
Were you playing with your
tweets? He was playing with his balls earlier.
Yeah,
yes.
I was gonna say, were you playing with your balls, break? That's what frequent. See, I wouldn't ask that question.
You mean your basketballs?
All right, continue on, break. What else you been playing, man?
No, that's it.
What about then, you?
Well, after I beat it, I started playing the multiplayer.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so just Titanfall 2. It's a lot of fun.
I heard the multiplayer is really
fun. It's a
great
game. Oh, my God. I love this game.
Yeah. I like Titanfall 2, man. I haven't played a lot of it.
EA sucks and killed it, basically.
It'll be back, man. There's been rumblings about Titanfall.
Well, now they've moved on to Apex Legends. I was thinking about trying that now since it's a multiplayer-only game.
How come whenever I see Apex, I think of, like, Apex Twins, like
I know the Apple Twins. I mean, what were we talking about?
The Apple Twins. Yeah, Tim, we're not Apple. Talking about your college adventures, Breakman. We're talking about, we're moving beyond sex here, man. So,
I'm sorry.
All right, Eric, what have you been playing?
I'm played more London Detective Mystery. I finished Lords of Shadow 2, so no more Lords of Shadow. That's a good accomplishment.
Yeah, wow. Props to you.
I mean, there are things about Lords of Shadow 2 that I like because it fixed a lot of the problems Lords of Shadow had, but it still has its own set of problems.
Yeah.
I played a demo for Lords of Shadows and said, no, this is not the Castlevania that I want. No, thank you.
Apparently,
I was right.
So. Yeah.
It was God of War that was split up into levels, which is actually a good idea, because that was the problem with God of War 3. Like, you want to redo a section to get this thing you missed? Too bad. You basically have to replay the entire game all over again.
Mm.
Yikes.
That's the only advantage that Lords of Shadow had over God of War 3.
Oh, wow. All right, so what else you've been playing, Eric?
And Lords of Shadow 2's problem is the stupid ass cell sections and it wanting to copy Arkham Asylum so bad.
Yeah. All right. Whoa, what else, Eric? Sucks. That it?
Arkham was a good game, but when companies try and like shoehorn something that they're copying into another type of game, that never turns out good.
Yeah.
It still had the God of War like gameplay, but it played a lot more like Arkham.
All right, Eric. What else you been playing, man?
But I played a little bit of Sekiro.
Is it good? I heard it's great things about Sekiro.
I only fought the tutorial boss and then the second tutorial boss, which is supposed to kill you.
So you've only died like 100 times? Is what
two times.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. All right.
I got to this one place in the wall, and I got the shurikens, and that's as far as I gotten.
So is it looking like a winner, Eric?
Yeah, I'm getting the feeling that it might be too difficult for me at some point because I think they went like crazy on the difficulty for the bosses and they're probably going to have to be forced to rebalance it because there are probably going to be complaints because
they ain't gonna rebalance shit.
A lot of other people have been saying that getting through the levels is easy enough, but it's the bosses that stop them.
Yeah, they're not. There's no way in hell that they rebalance that game, Eric. If you played Bloodborne. Or any other Dark Souls, they're not rebalancing shit. It is what it is, and you either get through it.
Do they have like a certain trick to beating them, or is it
and the nice thing is that you don't necessarily have to beat a boss like right away. You can just go do something else instead.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, you definitely got to practice before you get to
it. It doesn't have a traditional leveling system. I mean, you do get experience for fighting enemies, but, like, I think, like, there's, like, two different forms of experience. And one, like, increases your physical attributes. The other lets you get skills. Nah. And,
skills.
And you still got the Estus Flask, like, deal going on. But, like... There's no riposting in this game so much as there is block an attack and then you by successfully parrying you wear down an enemy's it's like kind of like their stamina bar, and like the higher their stamina gets bar to full, that's when they're vulnerable and you can take off a single hit point and or instantly kill them if they're like a common enemy. If they're a boss, they usually have several like hit points, and the idea is just to wear them down to where you can that accomplish that death blow.
Yeah, yeah. Dungeon set skills, and I agree.
Skills.
All right. What else you've been playing, Eric?
I also been playing the Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel on PS4. Comes out next week.
Okay, and what else? And
I just quickly turned on my PS3 version, copied my complete game save file when I started over at the new game plus, and played nightmare mode. So I'm going for the platinum now.
Oh, nice! That's cool.
And I'm probably gonna not play Sekiro for a while, and so I could get that done along with another game I have to review.
Yeah, Dungeon says Sekiro is neat, but I'm glad I just rented it. I don't think I'm in the right mindset anymore for that type. Dungeon Buster, how dare you? You son of a bitch! You're like one of the best game players I've ever seen play a fucking video game. You go out there and you buy Sekiro right now, sir, and you stream that son of a bitch because I need to live vicariously through you. Because there's no way I'm beating Sekiro. Say it right now, son of a bitch. God damn it.
Damn.
I'm just saying. Like, that's the only...
I mean, it has some of the things Dark Souls does, but it's also much more like a Tenchu game. Just a really hard Tenchu. It's like, I feel like this is what they wanted to do with Tenchu, but they also threw in, like... I don't know if you remembered this game for the PS2 called Blood Will Tell, but it was like... It was like the English title for a game that was actually a licensed game Sega made based on a manga called Dororo.
Yeah.
And where like the whole premise was that you're playing as a guy who lost most of his body parts to demons who stole it from him, and now he has to get them back. But like it's kind of like the same way where you've lost an arm, but and you got a prosthetic arm, but like you can put a whole bunch of hidden weapons.
I was hoping he was, like, just a stub jumping around attacking people, like, biting him and stuff. Like, he's got no legs, no arms, and he was just jumping on his butt, you know?
Doing a whole Metallica 1 type of thing.
Like, farting on him. I don't know. You hit him with his butt or something.
Oh, it's like
story also kind of feels like a lone wolf and cub, but you, like, failed, and now you
like,
have to rescue
like,
him.
Like, what was that movie, the Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Oh, right. You're like the Black Knight.
It's only a flesh wound. You know, type thing. But all right, let's go on. Freak 5 says Frank's so bad at games that he was killed by the first power up. Much, you know what, you son of a bitch? Hell no!
He died at the Goomba, not even the mushroom.
That's what he's talking about.
He's saying about he was killed by the power up mushroom. The power up mushroom makes you big. Frank was so bad at gaming that the power mushroom, instead of making him bigger, like it does for everybody else, the power up mushroom killed him.
It was the poison mushroom in disguise.
You know what? I am getting better. And I'm going to go into the games that I've been playing. And,
so you got past World 1-1 yet?
Fuck you. You son of a bitch, Breakman. You're exiled. Look, I played MPQ, right? I played a little bit of Final Fantasy IX, which I fucking love. It's a great fucking game. I think that's one of the most underrated Final Fantasy games of all time.
Are you using any of the cheats to get through the game faster?
No, nope, I am not. I'm playing it straight all the way through. And I know it's going to take me a long time the way I play. But I don't give a shit.
At least using the speed up mode that makes the game's battles go faster because it's slow as fuck?
Nope. I'm just playing it like it was meant to be played, my friend. But I did play and beat The Order 1886, and I might as well do this.
You sounded really thrilled with that game.
All right. I'm going to review The Order 1886. It's a pretty good game. It's definitely not great, and I almost decided that it wasn't even a pretty good game and just a good game. The pacing is fine. The graphics are excellent. I disagree with Eric. I think they hold up even today. I think they're some of the greatest graphics I think I've seen in almost any video game.
The problem I have with it and with Bloodborne and Dark Souls 3 is that there's chromatic aberration everywhere. Uh-huh. And that's like a technical term, but basically it makes things look shiny when they don't need to be shiny.
Yeah, but that's a problem in almost any video game, Eric. Like, they haven't fixed that problem. It's a major problem.
Just something that they fixed in Sekiro, actually.
Well, I haven't played Sekiro, so I can't say, but in every other video game that I played, they've had that problem, like where everything looks like shiny plastic if you look at people's faces and stuff. I mean, this has been a problem with video games forever, and if they fix it in Sekiro, great, that's awesome, that's a step forward. But 2021 Frank will finally beat Final Fantasy IX. How dare you, Freak Five. I like 1886. I think it's slightly underrated. It is a short game. I think that was one of the main criticisms at the time.
Should we call it the Order 1886 instead?
No, it's a fine game. It's good. I hope they do a follow-up because they left it open. In my opinion, it was too repetitious. There was too many. And then the difficulty curve, like there's no difficulty curve in Order 1886. Anybody can play and beat it, especially if I can beat it. Anybody can beat it. The problem is they jolt you with these superpowered like enemies with shotguns. They have these like blank mask on that just and they run fast. There's like no getting away from these guys. So you have to like die a few times before you decide, okay, I'm going to go over into this corner and hope that I can shoot the fuck out of this thing before it gets close to me and shoots me with a shotgun, because two shots and you're fucking dead. So there's that, but that it wasn't there wasn't so much of that. It was just like clog points. Like I talked about it last week, but there was just these points where there was enemy after enemy, and then you get these enemies that just, you know, walked right in, didn't care if they were getting shot, they would fucking still run at you and shoot you with a shotgun and kill
just
you.
Just wait, there'll be a sequel to this game and it'll be microtransaction nonsense like Anthem is.
Oh, I hope not, man. I would not play it if that was the case. But I don't know, it's a fine game. It stands on its own. It graphically, I disagree with Eric. I think it's a fine game graphically. And the set pieces were kind of cool, and the setting was really cool. Story was halfway interesting, although I felt like, spoilers everybody, if you haven't played 1886, Order 1886, the werewolf angle was just kind of...
Yeah, I haven't played it, but it's okay. I'll forget what you said anyway.
To me, it's...
I don't really listen to you anyway.
Yeah, you never listen, so it's okay, Brake.
Are you going to tell us what you think, or what?
How dare you? but, like, honestly, like the werewolf angle was just kind of thrown in the mix there for apparent, like no apparent reason.
So, like it's Rise of the Lycans.
Yeah, it wasn't, there was, I mean, they could have done so much more. I felt the Lycans were, like, overpowered, like, on purpose, and that was good. But they, like, you really, like, have no chance against, like, the werewolves when they're, like, running up to you. You know, I mean, you have to be like...
I think that's a good premise for Bloodborne 2, though. Like, make it, instead of mostly werewolves and Cthulhus, we can have vampires and Cthulhus.
Maybe. I mean, that might work. I don't know. There were allusions to vampires in this game, but, like, that never came to fruition. I thought I was going to, you know, maybe run into a vampire or two, but other than burning a bunch of crates of vampires, there's no vampires, just a few lichens.
I don't remember Rise of the Robots looking pretty.
But anyways.
What games did you play? Yeah.
Back then it was.
No, even then it was kind of ugly.
No, back then it was a good-looking game.
Yeah, yeah.
Then again, I'm thinking of the Super Nintendo version. I'm sure the Sega CD version looked better.
Dungeon said it best. He says he remembers the Order. Pretty good game. Gameplay was kind of stale. I agree. When it ended, I was hoping that there would be more, but no, that's it. World's interesting. Concept sounds cool, but the game there was like a huge tutorial. Yeah, that I felt like that too. Like, there was no... It was kind of bland. So I'm giving it a 6.5. I mean, I think it's well above average. I'm hoping for a sequel, and I hope it does a lot better. Like, they could have did a lot more. Like, some of the things, you know, they could have did without, like, the, you know, they really botched the Tesla angle. Like, Tesla could have brought so many weird and cool, wicked weapons to the thing, but that never happened. So, you know, disappointing in a lot of aspects, but thrilling in others, and had some, you know, replay value. So I give it a 6.5. I think it's worth a play. If you can rent it, you could probably beat it in a day or two. If you can find it on the cheap, like I did for $5, that's even better. It's definitely worth $5. So that's what, you know, that's my review. Real quickly, Captain Marvel, I don't have much to add, other than what these guys said. I think it's a good movie in its own right. I think it's, to me, it's a great, first effort at making a woman the center point of a Marvel movie. I think they need to do more with Black Widow and a few other MCU characters.
Well, Black Widow has her own movie coming.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said I specifically mentioned her for that.
Okoye?
What about what?
T'Challa's sister.
Why not? Why not? You mean Okoye?
Yeah,
Okoye.
I couldn't remember how to pronounce it.
Yeah. His sister's name was Shuri.
His cousin is Shuri. His sister's Okoye.
Oh, Shuri was his cousin. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. I could be wrong on that. It could be vice versa. But Okoye would be a great character to delve into. I wouldn't mind that at all. Although I don't know how they would weave that into the whole narrative of things. Like maybe, you know.
Well, it'd probably take place after Endgame.
Shuri is a princess of the fictional African kingdom of Wakanda. She is the daughter of T'Chaka and the sister of T'Challa.
Oh, yeah, so we did mix it up.
So Shuri is the sister.
Yes, Shuri's the sister, and I guess Okoye's the cousin? I could be wrong.
Like,
that,
Shuri's an awesome character.
I like Shuri. I would watch a movie.
She's quick-witted and brilliant. Yep. I mean, she's a perfect character to add to that.
Even better.
They didn't reveal whether she turned to dust or not. I'm hoping she didn't, because they could use her.
I'm thinking that they could.
She could be the stand-in for Black Panther.
You know what they could do with Shuri? Make a series on Disney. There's limitless possibilities.
I know they have a few coming out. They already have a few planned. Loki is one.
Yep, Loki is one.
I can't remember what the other.
Scarlet Witch is another. I think Shuri would fit perfect in that. Like, Shuri would be
the Garlic Witch.
Yeah, the Garlic Witch. That's Bernie's term. So yeah, that's cool. All right, what are we doing? Reviews.
Or Dickie Barnes.
Dickie Barnes. It was so funny when she said that shit. Captain Marvel's a really good movie. I give it an 8 out of 10. I love Goose. Goose is a great fucking character. Goose is a great character in the comic books, too. I'm hoping to see a little more of Goose in future. Goose is a lot like Groot to me. It's one of those characters. Okay,
see,
that...
my thought with Goose is... why did he page Captain Marvel? He should have called whoever was watching Goose. Like, you need Goose's help right now.
Both. Like, yeah.
Like, Captain Marvel's awesome, but Goof could just, you know, eat him and be done.
You know what I love about Captain Marvel? She's this right now, as it stands, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, she's the most powerful character out of any of them.
So basically, Goose could eat anything as long as it's not a Tesseract.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, he could eat that, too. He'll barf it up later.
Yeah,
he'll barf up Thanos later.
He eats Thanos and he barfs him up later. That's the best. Yeah, Goose is awesome.
Or he barfs up the gauntlet and then somebody else gets it.
I like the idea of Goose as a character like Groot. I hope they give more. It's easy to dismiss Goose because it's just a cat, you know, on the surface. But Goose has a lot of backstory and a lot of character development to go with Goose. So I'm hoping that Goose stays a strong part of the Marvel Universe, because they could do a lot with that character.
Can Goose talk at all?
Goose cannot talk, no. But Goose doesn't need to talk.
Do they, give Goose a translator at any point?
No. Goose cannot communicate in that way at all, at all. But... not so far as what I can remember. God damn, it's been a while. But Goose is definitely you don't want to fuck with Goose. Goose is one of those characters. It's like Groot. Like Groot is a character that you really don't want to fuck with. Like you got to see a lot.
Like if he's your friend, like he's a good loyal friend.
Can you speak Goose? Is what I'm asking though.
No, I don't think you can.
Well, Fury sure can't.
Yeah, no, Fury sure definitely can't.
Fury like just does not know how to handle a cat. Like that's not how you treat a cat, Fury.
Well,
that's what a cat's gonna do to you when you treat a cat like that.
Not even a cat, a flirkin, man.
Well, I know, but it's, I mean, essentially they act like cats.
Yeah.
So Goose does not have a language much like Groot does.
Yeah, Groot has a language. Actually.
No, he meowed.
Yeah,
it's like a cat.
Yeah, it's like a cat, but I don't think anybody's translated that language yet. So I don't know. Maybe we'll get more from Goose later. But I hate to do this to you.
I do like there was an elective to learn Groot's language and
Midgard.
Yeah, exactly.
Asgard. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Eric. I hate to do this to you, but we're running.
Or in Midgard, because like you know, Asgard used to be on Earth.
Yeah. All right, Eric, I hate to do this to you, but let's move through your reviews as quick as we possibly can. I don't want to rush you, but, you know, we got some stuff to get to.
Okay, I've got a review of... don't worry, the first two are going to be very short, because one movie is kind of terrible.
Okay.
No, it is terrible. I saw Disney's A Wrinkle in Time
from
last year.
Yeah.
It's on Netflix, so I decided I need a W movie, so I watched it. No, it's not that bad of a movie. It's just not that great of a movie.
Yeah, I heard middling reviews, so it makes sense.
But
it's a wrinkle of mediocrity.
Yeah, there you go.
The plot line almost kind of feels like The Fifth Element, which means The Fifth Element stole from A Wrinkle in Time. Wrinkle in Time was a book written in the 60s.
Yeah, definitely it stole from
I haven't read the book, but I've had an excerpt of the book read to me when I was in sixth grade.
Yeah, it's a good book. Wrinkle in Time's a good book. So
I should probably read the entire series, but they're children's books. But I did like the fact that they are a multicultural family, so it's like nice to see that. They're not all white people. I mean, there's nothing in the books that suggests that they are white, is there? I mean, they don't need to be.
It's implied, but that's a story that you can, you know, you can.
And like, they're all family members. I mean, the movie does seem to suggest that one of the kids might be adopted, but they aren't. I mean, because, like, if you know how genetics works and gene selection works, your skin color, while most usually ends up being the case, like, where you'll have white children and black children, and, like, that'll be really rare, and it's usually just black children or white children, it can happen. So
well, just like albino
it
black
can,
people
can, but usually it mix. Usually it's a mix. That's why.
Or you'll end up with somebody who has like really light dark skin. So
yeah. All right.
Well, I mean, that's why. Like, I don't know if it's still like appropriate, but the name Mulatto, you know, it was basically like the mixture of a black and white gene. You know.
All right.
He is a lighter skin and
but like the weirdest thing was just probably some kind of absurd obscure reference to the book where like it used to be a thing in the 60s where like when someone was in trouble they'd call you by your full name to let you know you're in trouble.
Oh, weird.
So it's like they kept referring to Charles as Charles Wallace. It's like Wallace is his middle name and Murray is his last name.
Well, that harkens back.
I don't know if that term's offensive, so I'm just going to say biracial from
now. I don't know. I don't think.
I think it isn't, but I'm just going to say biracial.
No, that's fine. What you're saying, Eric.
I don't want to make people mad. Cause
like every time they address him by name, they say Charles Wallace. They specifically mention it.
Well,
every time
it makes sense, Eric, because like if you like, I remember when I was a kid, like my mom would use both of my names. You know, if I was in trouble.
Yeah, when you're deep shit, especially.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
so
that's when you know you're in trouble with your mother when she uses your middle name.
Yeah. So
the thing is, like, this is like. These are millennial kids. I mean, or no, not even millennial at this point. They're, I think it's like Generation
Y.
Y?
Yeah, Gen Y. Yeah. So anyways, we got to move on here, Eric. What? Continue with the review, man.
But Whoopi Goldberg, why? I mean, not Whoopi, Oprah, why?
I like Whoopi.
Sometimes I don't like her
political views.
Neither of them I don't like
her or any of that stuff, but I loved her old movies in the 80s and stuff like that.
She's not in the movie. I was thinking Oprah. Oprah. Sorry, Oprah. But
We definitely agree on that one.
Oprah's a horrible
human. Like 80s, like Jumping Jack Flash and stuff.
I do appreciate the books more so than the movies attempts to inject science and like trying to educate kids that way through entertainment. I think the book probably does it better than the movie did, because there aren't a lot of instances in the movie where they actually use science to solve problems.
I think that was due to Oprah actually being involved in that movie. Oprah is a horrible person and a very anti-science person. But anyways, continue, Eric.
I'm going to give this movie 6.
Okay, above average, but nothing.
But Year One deserves a 1, because fuck everything about that movie. Even Jack Black can't save it.
Okay. I think
That's bad if you can't say it. What movie are you talking about?
Year One.
Okay,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
It's like they tried to ape Monty Python's Flying Circus and all those movies like The Life of Brian, but they failed horribly.
Wow. Like, I'm a huge Jack Black fan, but there's a reason I haven't seen a lot of his movies.
Yeah.
Like Year One, I've never seen.
Let's go back and watch Nacho Libre.
Because it's just a lot of his movies are just, it's just bad writing for the most part, you know,
I know you like Grandpa's Boy, but I didn't really care for that movie either. And this movie is, if Grandpa's Boy managed to suck even more than I thought it did.
Grandma's Boy. And I like Grandma's Boy.
I like Grandma's Boy. Like, because it was so funny. Just a stoner comedy, basically. Yeah. Like,
well, the best thing
embraced what it was. If that's a stoner comedy, maybe I'll check it out too. Because, like,
I think
stoner comedies never try to step out of what they are. Like,
yeah.
We're just, like, trying to make you laugh. That's it.
But,
we don't care about story or plot. We're just trying to make you laugh.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest credit to Grandma's Boy being as good as it is because Adam Sandler's friends are in it, but he's not.
Yeah, that's the. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, I love Grandma's Boy. I think it's an underrated gem, in my opinion. But all right, so 1 for Year One. On to Maiden Abyss, Journey's Dawn in Season 1. Eric.
Yeah, basically, this is going to be more a review for the movie, but I am going to mention bits of Season 1, because I did watch that before seeing the movie, because the whole reason I wanted to see this, because I wanted to see it in Japanese, just to do some comparisons, like, on, like, how well they captured the spirit of the characters in the English dub, but also to talk about the fact that I saw the rest of Season 1, because this movie only covers half the first season. It covers the first 7 episodes, and it is a story about these people, like, a long time ago, found this island that had this big, gigantic, gaping hole in it. And it's basically kind of like a labyrinth of sorts, where there's a whole bunch of life giant monsters that can kill you and stuff, but, like, there's also this curse going on. Like, the deeper you go, like, the harder it is for you to return, because if you go to the 5th level, that's the last level you can go to before you have to go back, because if you go beyond that, you can't come back up. Otherwise, you'll probably die in the process of trying to get back up, because there's some weird curse or some weird system in place where there's like a barrier that basically just buffs against any of your efforts to get back in there. So it's kind of like its own gravity well of sorts, I guess. Okay. It's like super pushes up against you and causes all kinds of problems, including potentially turning you into a monster.
Okay, so continue on, Eric. What do we got here for?
So it's about a young girl named Riko who is one of the excavators in to try to explore these ruins in search for objects that they can use to sell and support their families and such. So it's basically their livelihood. It gets into some of the, like, higher level adventurers. Like, they basically have ranks. The White Whistles are the strongest of the adventurers and have gone the deepest. But one of them is at the sixth level. Of course, since he's at the sixth level, he can't get back up. But he can, like, do experiments there. And I guess he sends his findings back up to the people. But through, like, elevators and shit like that. But, anyways, like, people like him are exploiting kids, and, well, you learn more about that at the end of season two, or one, so the movie two, she basically finds this robot boy, and, you find out later that he might have been sent by her mom, who made it down to the bottom, and now she's looking for her mom, because she thinks that she's still alive down there.
Mm-hmm.
So big adventure, and it's really good, and it has a really good art style, and it kind of reminds me of like movies like Nausicaa, and I think and the art style kind of also reminds me of the Entry Odyssey games. And in fact, I think a setting for this would be good for like a dungeon crawler, like just get a team of adventurers to like go explore the depths.
All right, so what are you giving this movie?
I'm giving it. It was cut really well. It didn't cut most of season one out. They skimmed over like the 10 days that they were trying to train to prove to like one of the White Whistles that they were made of tough enough stuff so they could explore the rest of the abyss. But they really cut that down and just glossed over it. And but like that's fine because that was all handled mostly in a montage. But that was kind of unnecessary stuff. But I did like the stuff that happened in those episodes on the TV series. But they put in a new scene, which expanded like a little bit more on like her mother's memories and like what she was doing before she ended up having Rico. But that was a nice thing that they did in the beginning of the movie. But I'm gonna give this 9.
Ooh. Good score. So from a 1, which I don't think you've ever given anything a 1 to a 9. That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. I don't
know when part 2 of season 1's story will be shown in theaters, but the only other time you'll have to see this movie would be the dub version, and that's the 25th.
Okay. All right. I don't think anybody has a heiscapade this week. I briefly mentioned mine. I think we discussed at the beginning whether or not I should go see Us or the Home and Garden show. So, and Breakman, I think that was from last week, what's in the document there. So let's go on to...
Oh, is there something in there? My bad. I blame you. It's your fault.
Yeah, just blame me. All right. Let's move on to...
Stinko of the Week.
Breakman, do you have a stinko?
Yes. This comes to us from, I guess, Jezebel.com.
Okay. Jezebel. I like it already.
Jezebel.com. Jenny McCarthy's autism charity has helped its board members make money off of dangerous, discredited ideas.
Yep.
That's the opening headline. Camel's Milk. B12 Lollipops. Hyperbaric oxygen chambers.
Ugh.
Ion cleansing foot baths. Gelatin therapy. I don't fucking know what gelatin is. Gluten-free diets.
Sounds like a lot like charlatan.
Yeah.
Casein-free diets. Massive doses of nutritional supplements. All of these products and services have two things in common. First, mainstream and widely trusted medical bodies don't recognize them as reputable or effective treatment for autism. Second, they're all recommended by and in some cases sold outright through Generation Rescue, a charity for autistic kids and their families whose board president and most famous face is actress Jenny McCarthy, who is selling those products as a cure for autism.
Yeah, I actually think that site should be immediately taken down, and Jenny McCarthy should be brought in charges.
It's charity, so she's getting like the benefits of charity, you know.
Yeah, I honestly think that Jenny McCarthy should be in jail. I mentioned that how Oprah is one of the worst
people. And Gwyneth Paltrow for goop nonsense.
I honestly think we mentioned Oprah Winfrey.
This is way worse than any goop nonsense. Like, this is her work. She is actively profiting off of parents. Off of the stupidity of parents and not giving their children medicine. Like, kids have died from this shit. Yes. Like, it's not, it hasn't been a lot of kids.
Yeah, I don't remember people being killed by goop. That hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Here's...
But there have been small numbers of kids who've died because of some of the measles outbreaks that have happened recently.
And that's one too many. That's way one too many.
when we cured the fucking disease.
I honestly, look, I mentioned Oprah Winfrey before. Oprah Winfrey and Jenny McCarthy are two people that are responsible for more deaths in this country than a lot of people, including Hitler. I know that's hard to believe, but if you research like Oprah Winfrey and her outreach to, you know, anti-vaccinations and alternative medicines, and she is Jenny McCarthy, at one point Jim Carrey was involved when he was involved with Jenny McCarthy, and like Eric mentioned, Gwyneth Paltrow. When you start pushing these false narratives, Bill Maher is another one. If you start pushing these narratives of alternative medicines being an alternative to actual medicines, then you are doing everybody in this world a disservice. And I'll tell you a personal story. I worked as a bud tender for a while. And even though I praise CBD as being a very effective pain reliever and healing mechanism, because I've seen it firsthand and I've dealt with it, you know, over and over with other people, you know, day in, day out, I've seen people with cancer get better because they added CBD to their normal, you know, chemotherapy and other things. I would never say that CBD, just take the CBD and stop doing the radiation and, you know, your cancer treatments and drugs, chemotherapy and stuff like that. I always said, do it in conjunction with. I never claimed that, you know, this would take the place of your doctor prescribed medicines. And that's the difference between somebody like me and somebody like Jenny McCarthy and Oprah Winfrey and Jim Carrey and Bill Maher and a bunch of these other fucking piece of shit celebrities that have so much outreach and they have no idea how many people that they have affected in the negative in their lives. And I agree with you, Breakman. That's a great, great...
So here's an explanation of what chelation is. Mm-hmm. A process approved for lead poisoning in which a fluid is inserted through an IV orally or as a suppository in order to bind to metals from the bloodstream and remove them. The metals are excreted in urine and feces. Yeah. It's a medically debunked and potentially very risky procedure for treating symptoms of autism. Yeah.
It's like that keloid stuff where they like bleed you. Like they do that suction thing. That's
I'm putting leeches on people.
That type of thing. Keloid. I think that's what they call it. Like when they cut you and then let you bleed for a little bit, and that's supposed to cure fucking, you know, every disease known to man. It just doesn't fucking work. It's like psychic surgery is another one. You know, that bullshit. Like it just, I mean, this stuff has got to stop. There's got to be more regulation. You know, I know, you know, the conservatives in the world are, you know, very anti-regulation anything, but this is exactly why we need fucking regulation. You know, this is the poster child for regulation. Anyways, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I get impassioned.
So some of the other things, like the hyperbaric oxygen chamber, that's designed for deep sea divers suffering from decompression sickness.
And also carbon monoxide poisoning. Yes.
It's been proven to not do anything to help kids with autism.
No.
In any way.
It does help with muscle generation. Like football players use them for after a game or something. They want to put that pressure and
yeah,
you
know. all those they go through a lot of extremes. I think they don't. I think there's a lot of things that football players and professional athletes do that I think, like, I'm just like, no, you guys are being kooks now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I there's some merit to some of that, but most
some
of it is
nonsense. Some
of it,
yeah. But, like, some of them will do, like, swear by acupuncture.
Oh, shit, fuck like that. Yeah. No, I agree, dude. 100%. 100%.
And the Association for Science and Autism Treatment calls the hyperbaric oxygen therapy a glaring example of pseudoscience.
Yep, absolutely. No question about it. No fucking question about it, Breakman.
B12 lollipops.
That's ridiculous.
Let me see. They're treating for symptoms of nail biting, dyslexia, ADHD, asthma, anxiety, depression, tinnitus, and a plethora of other disorders. With a lollipop sounds far-fetched, this is what the writer said, is because it's completely far-fetched. Yeah.
As
a B12 lollipop. So basically they're saying you're not getting enough B12 in your diet. That's why you bite your nails and you're dyslexic, because you don't have enough B12.
That's a bunch of bullshit, man. I've had depression for years, and there's no
amount. Well, you haven't had enough B12, obviously.
I was just about ready to say there's no amount of B12 that can combat fucking depression. All right, as a survivor of deep depression and other mental nonsense, the B12 is going to do absolutely fucking nothing unless you have a B12 deficiency specifically, and your doctor says you need to take B12 fucking pills. Then
yeah,
there's
I,
no.
I can't imagine
need.
How badly these parents are fucking up their children.
It's not. I mean, it's not a matter of fucking them up. It's a matter of not
well,
helping.
You're
them.
Not supposed to have like over like too many of anything can be bad for you.
Yeah,
even something that's supposedly good for you, like too much B12 can be bad for you.
Yeah, your
point.
Body will reject the B12 through your urine and other ways of getting rid of it, but. It just makes your body work harder than what it normally does. You get that shit through your food for the most part. Like I said, unless a doctor tells you you have a B12 shortage, you need to take some B12 pills, then there's no fucking reason for it. There's zero reason for it. It's like taking fucking multivitamins every fucking day. Why? Unless a doctor is telling you take a multivitamin, there's no fucking reason to do that, you know?
Okay, I didn't see the price on the B12 lollipop, but the foot bath that claims to be able to pull toxins from the body.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
There was a 2012 study by a company called Ion Cleanse who said they couldn't find anything at all that it did, actually. But anyway, they're selling that for close to $2,000.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. That is so fucked up. And if you have enough money to spend $2,000 on a fucking foot detoxification bath, fuck off, man. Just fuck the right off. Bernie says, I know I'm late for Stinkos, but two out of her three sisters are her Stinkos.
Yeah, I've been enough and we're getting late. Go ahead. I need to end this. Go on.
We could go all day with that break, man. Save right. that. Let's do a free-for-all on that, actually, because it can be pseudoscience. Put that down for next week because we can get into that. Eric, your Stinko of the week.
My Stinko of the week, it goes to, excuse me, I need a cough, Chick-fil-A for just continuing to donate to anti-LGBT groups.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for being gross.
I like Chick-fil-A.
They are gross.
They're gross.
They're gross as a company.
Fuck your pickled brine chicken.
Oh, it's good. I can make it. It's really good. I mean, I like it. I really do.
Anyways, the headline says, the group gave $1.8 million to discriminatory groups in 2017, despite reportedly claiming it was winding down the practice last year. So they'll say this, and they'll do it for a while, and then when people stop looking, they'll just do it again.
Look, I love Chick-fil-A as a food. Like, I know you guys don't like it. I like it, but I refuse. I absolutely refuse to go to Chick-fil-A. I will not shop there. I will not spend one fucking penny because I've told people for fucking years, you go to Chick-fil-A, you're openly okay with them donating to anti-LGBT stuff, you know, and that to me is fucking ridiculous. I hate Chick-fil-A.
You should exile freak.
Yeah, you're exiled freak. I'm not a shill for Chick-fil-A. I'm the opposite. I can't. If you're Going to Chick-fil-A, I would highly recommend not doing it. I mean, I don't want to tell people not.
Here's who they donated to, and how much. 1,653,416 to Fellowship of Christian Athletes, 6,000 to the Paul Anderson Youth Home, and 150,000 to the Salvation Army.
Yeah, fuck all those groups. They are very anti-LGBTQ, and they just don't need to exist. There's no room for hate in this world anymore, and I think our politics are going in the opposite direction after this
also,
next election.
Also, like, a lot of the at least one church in some state somewhere, I read, for the Methodist Church, has went against the headquarters of the United Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. And it's anti-LGBT.
Freak Five, I can love their food and not shop there. I can make Chick-fil-A myself. Why do I need to go there?
Yeah, it'll probably be overall cheaper in the long run, and you can probably get more.
Yeah.
And just save it for later.
Yeah, and it tastes like it's a carbon copy. The way I do it is just, it's exactly the same. All right. Sorry to cut you off there. I'm going to do mine real quick. This is unfortunate news. Everybody remember the Parkland shooting, obviously. It happened last year. Mm-hmm. One of the survivors shot herself.
Ooh.
Sydney Aiello, a Parkland school shooting survivor, kills herself. Yellow's mother reportedly said her daughter suffered from survivor's guilt and had recently been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm not going to get into it other than to say that she was a beautiful young lady by all accounts. But the reason that this is a stinko is because, all right, we've been talking about gun control for a long-ass time in this country, and this story should definitely resonate even with conservatives of why we need gun control, all right? Obviously, she was mentally unstable after what happened, and you know, for good reason. I mean, you survive that, and you have survivor guilt. One of her friends perished in the Parkland shooting, and ironically, she shoots herself in the head with a fucking gun. She was obviously mentally unstable and should not have had access to a gun. Her parents, I don't believe, are at fault for this. I don't think the gun came from them. But it's time that we, at the very least to start, we think about doing universal background checks on anybody who wants to own not only semi-automatic rifles and all the other bullshit, but almost any gun. There's no excuse for it anymore. New Zealand has been a shining example of what to do after a tragedy. After the mosque shooting, the prime minister, I believe is what they call the president of New Zealand, immediately said, we are banning semi-automatic weapons. And every weapon that was involved in the shooting of that mosque, we're banning it because the people in that mosque were New Zealand. And I think we get away from thinking about these people as part of the United States, all right? This young lady was an American citizen, and she took her life because of what happened in that shooting. It's time to take the lead of other countries. We are no longer the leader of the free world, so we have to take the lead of some other countries, and I think New Zealand's a good point, you know, a good looking point in saying, you know what, we've got to do this, not because it makes the NRA happy or because it makes conservatives happy or Democrats happy. We need to have the ability to live. And this is a good step forward in just banning these type of fucking weapons. It's time. We can't have people that are mentally unstable, you know, toting guns around. And the first line of defense is having at least a background check. You know what I'm saying? That's the least that we can do. So that's my stinko of the week. It's terrible. And, you know, I think it's time for us to take New Zealand's lead on things. I don't know. Am I out of line, guys? What do you think?
I'd like to say that many times I've heard it's a mental health issue. It's a mental health issue. Well, Then how come we're not addressing the mental health issues then?
How come we're not doing background checks? What if somebody does have mental health issues?
If it's not the guns and it's mental health issues, then why are we allowing people with issues of mental health to get guns?
We should.
It's not about that.
It's not. The NRA is a fucking horrible organization, and
it's not just NRA that says that. People who blast NRA say that.
Yeah, I know, but the NRA is the biggest purveyor of that nonsense. And you know what? It's becoming more and more apparent that the NRA is a cancer on the United States, and people like that support that way of thinking. So let's move on to happier things, guys. Let's move on to...
I want to move on to lulls first.
Sweet of the week. All right, what's your lulls, man?
I don't have a sweet, but I do have a lulls. But the very fact that... that Bill and Ted 3 might be happening is just why.
It is happening, and it's a great announcement. I am happy. I can't wait. I think it's going to be fun. But let's move on to Sweeto's break, man.
There's actually there's a lull or a heiscapade from Freak in chat.
Okay.
He says, my 3-year-old niece wanted to wash her hands in the kitchen sink. And then my chat scrolled down on me hold on a second. she wanted to wash her hands in the kitchen sink. In the kitchen sink, while my mom was washing dishes, my mom told her to use the bathroom sink. My niece said she didn't want to. They went back and forth. Then my niece said, "Fine, motherfucker."
How dare she? Man, what happened after that? What's the
That was the end of it. He said we also ignored his stinkos, so let me see here. I have a repeat stinko this week. Fucking potholes. Before I got around to replacing my tire, another fucking pothole flattened my spare tire.
Oh, ouch. That sucks, man. Sorry to hear that. This is even worse one.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mrs. Freak is back in the hospital, man. Like, what? Is she all right? What's going on? She obviously isn't all right.
Maybe we should call this episode Freak is Fucked. I don't know.
Freak is Fucked. Well, everybody already knew that Freak is Fucked. I mean, that's, you know, it goes with the territory. But, man, we're wishing the best for Freak 5's wife, man. Like, what's Mrs. Freak up to, man? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on there? I hope she gets better, man. Get out of the hospital. Like, you know, I don't know what else to say. Asthma. Yeah. Asthma sucks, man.
That's terrible.
Bernie has some asthma too, man. She has a inhaler and everything, but hopefully she gets better. Best wishes to Mrs. Freak for sure. She's definitely. I mean, I would wish that on Freak, not Mrs. Freak. I mean, Mrs. Freak is an angel, and you know, she's married to the devil, but you know. All right. Actually, I don't wish.
She's married to the exile.
Deal better. Dust from her dad turned up the bathroom, exasperated it. Okay, well, that's good, man. It's good news. Just keep her out of the house until that shit's done, I guess. I don't know. All right, I'm going to move on to my Sweeto of the Week. Break, did you have a Sweeto? Did I already get to you? Or?
We don't really have time. Go ahead with yours.
Weather's been awesome, so that's cool. And then Head Like a Hole was released on this day in 1990. So it's one of my all-time favorite songs. I definitely put it in the top 25, so there you go. We have time for yours, Break. What you got?
No, what? We have like a free-for-all or something like that? Or
Free-for-all is
going to... Because mine's not important. It doesn't matter.
Well, free-for-all I'm going to skip. It was the criminal justice reform talk, but that's way too much.
Yeah, we need more time for that.
What's your Sweeto, man?
No, we're fine. Let's go on.
I'm exiled, Freak 5 says. So that's the show then. We'll skip the free-for-all this week. What were we going to talk about? What I tell you to keep on the list for next week, Break?
Pseudoscience.
Okay, we'll do a combination of justice reform and pseudoscience. Hopefully we'll have time to do both. That'd be great. Plugs. Break, man.
You can follow me at @break_man and at @rpgrinders and @buttplugman on Twitter, I think. So.
break_man.
I just had a revelation.
What's your revelation, Eric?
That Sekiro is actually just a gritty, dark, super dark Japanese version of Zelda.
Okay, well, maybe. I think we need more of this to lighten up the mood. All right, Breakman. More plugs.
Also, where the hell did Dungeon Buster go?
He got tired of this shit.
He was like, fuck this shit.
No. I'll listen in the background, but I got something else.
I think I mentioned Oprah and that what did it.
Yeah, I know. He's like, fuck.
He was enjoying the show, and then all of a sudden there was a power outage.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Breakman, anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, Eric, your plugs.
I'll plug the Legend of Heroes Trails of Cold Steel for PS4. It's the best way to play the game if you have a console that's a PS4. Because it's the best way to play the game, but like you obviously need a PS4 to play it. And aside from getting the PC version, but which your mileage may vary depending on your rig setup. But I'll also plug sites like BostonBrashBrigade.com, TotalEGN.com, VogNetwork.com, and HonestGamers.com. And, oh yeah, Blaster Master Zero 2 is out, so play that if you have a Switch. I don't know if they did a 3DS version like they did for the original game, but if they did, you can get on that too.
I think Eric is purposely trolling Breakman right now.
Why?
Because you're mentioning, like, if you have a PS4, play this. If you have a Switch, play this.
Please join us, Break.
Yeah, join us, Break, son of a bitch. All right, Eric.
I have feelings.
And also, if you get Sekiro, you're probably better off playing it on an Xbox One X or a PS4 Pro, or you're even better off getting a really good computer and playing it there, because it's still not a 60 FPS game on consoles, even with the stuff I mentioned.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right, anything else, Eric?
I mean, I don't know for personal experience, but I did watch the Digital Foundry video.
All right.
It's kind of disappointing that they haven't jumped over that Dark Souls 3 hurdle.
Yeah. All right, Eric. Any other plugs?
I hope nobody got in an accident over St. Patrick's Day last Sunday.
Yeah, no, none of our audience would ever drink too much and drive, ever, you know. All right, is that it, Eric?
Do your drugs responsibly and don't get games sort of canceled in Japan.
Yeah, I guess. All right, you can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches. I usually post political rants and weed rants and all kinds of other stupid nonsense on Twitter. And I get pissed off really easily, so you could probably troll me and I'll get really mad. I'm on all the consoles, Switch, Xbox, PS4, RP Grinders on all three. So, you know, if you want to join the show, then that's a good way of doing it, a good way of getting a hold of me. Breakman mentioned at RP Grinders. If you have a relationship advice that you need Breakman to solve for you, then feel free to at RP Grinders on Twitter. We answer all questions. Or if you have a good would you rather or anything other, you know, anything interesting, a good news story you want us to talk about, let us know. I do sell my plasma, Freak 5. That's how I make a living right now.
Also, I could use some Patreon money. Maybe I could get some help getting a console, like PS4 Pro or Xbox One X.
All right. So that's about it. At RP Grinders and let us know what I should do. Go see the movie Us or go to the Home and Garden show in Denver. So just let me know what you guys think. Maybe I should do. I'll do my own poll too.
Unless you're going to get research, I would just see the movie instead.
That is specifically why I do want to go to that Home and Garden show, is for research. But you know, whatever.
But. Can you just watch a stream of it instead or something?
No. The company that I'm specifically interested in is going to be there, and I'd like to talk to them directly. But all right, that's about all I got for this week. Thanks to everybody in chat. I know Dungeon was in there. Freak 5 was in there. Longtime listeners and friends of the show.
Hey Frank, instead, like, since the illusion of E3 is dead, maybe you can get footage with these guys.
Yeah. Maybe. Banana Nanan was in chat. Freak 5 I mentioned already. Commander Root. Bernie was in chat. New listener, Link. Linilink or whatever. Sorry if I'm...
Limmywinks? Oh, sorry.
I have no idea. Unilink? I have no idea, but maybe you could tell me next time. Positivity
by... Apparently Frank's blood has, like, hallucinogenic and neurotoxin properties.
Neurotoxins, probably. All right, Dungeon was in there. Tade was in there. Thank you all so much for being in chat. Eric mentioned his Patreon page, and I'm sure Eric will put that Patreon link in the description tonight. So if you want to donate, that'd be a great way to do it. And that's about it. I'm sure next week we'll have time for lots of free-for-all. So went a little late this week. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, everybody that's listening on the archives on Twitch and on YouTube. If you want to join us live and talk to us directly in the chat, we use the Twitch chat, but we can definitely, I always have the YouTube chat up as well, so feel free to join either platform live every Friday, 7 Eastern time. And that's about all we have for this week. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Till then, we're out. Go see us. More cowbell.
Man, I can't imagine the munchies people get after taking your blood.
Oh, man. Cowbell for you, my friend. Ha, 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 ha.